Aye, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you. So today we have a special event, really. It's a child dedication. So three of our families will be dedicating their children to the Lord. And we as a foundation will also be dedicating ourselves to the Lord to support them, which is what a church does, right? What a family does, and we support each other. And I can't really think of anything more challenging in life than parenting. You know, marriage is hard, ministry is hard, parenting really challenging. It kind of tests every single part of who you are. It reveals a lot of who you are. And it challenges us to be all that we can be in Christ. That's, I think, parenting. So when I look at young children now, I have three children that are grown, mostly grown, college age. I think about just those challenging difficult times, especially when they're younger. We really want to dedicate ourselves to the Lord because it is His work in our lives as parents, as a church, where we can really nurture children. And so it's also our Operation Christmas Child. So I actually didn't do this on purpose, where we had this outreach where we made the shoe boxes for Samaritan's Purse to distribute to needy children around the world, and have our child dedication on the same Sunday. God worked that out. It's really a time to think about children, our children here at church and needy children. And so we could call it like a children's Sunday, if you want, if you will. All right. So I'm looking forward to hearing the testimonies that the parents have been working on. You know, I shared with them a while ago. When I told them that we have a child dedication, I asked them if they wanted one. I didn't tell them about the testimony part. I kind of slipped that in a little later. But from what I've seen as the drafts they've had, I think we're all going to be really blessed by them. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll go into a message from Luke 18 about faith like a child. Father God, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Just such a blessing to be able to come here, especially on this special Sunday. We're preparing for Thanksgiving in a couple of weeks. We're also making shoe boxes for Samaritan's Purse through Operation Christmas Child. And we have this child dedication this morning. And it just helps us reflect on how much you value people, especially those who are needy or young or weak or forgotten. We want to have that same heart. So as we come to worship you, we pray that we worship not just in word, but also in deed, that you would be in our thoughts as we think about our days and what's important and what we're doing, that we would not forget about the very people that you love so much, even the little children. Thank you, God, for bringing us here to worship you. And whatever we have on our hearts and minds this morning, whether, you know, be coming to the last weeks of the quarter, things going on at work, our family, our health, there are always things that can be burdening us and be weighing us down. We want to come here and put those burdens and weights down at the foot of the cross and just to allow you to take them up so that we can find freedom and we can find peace and we can find our joy in you. And then we can be released to be a blessing to others. That is our desire, God, this morning. As we look at Luke 18, we pray, Father, we will hear the message of your word through Jesus' teaching. As he teaches in this passage, as he travels on to Jerusalem, Lord, speak to us as well in our journey of faith. And we pray in Jesus' name. So I've done quite a few child dedications in the past, not here, and I've been in churches that did have Children's Sunday, so I had to think about different children's messages and read different books, and even though I've never been a children's minister myself, I've had children, and I've supported children's ministries in church over all the years, so it's something that I feel connected to, I care about, and I've read about, right? So One of the books I think that was really helpful is called Rock Solid Kids. I think there's a new edition in 2015. And it talks about the attitude that we might have for children, particularly in the church. And so the first one, I thought, was very honest, that children are a bother. So I say it's honest because if you've ever had children, it is hard, and sometimes they can feel like a bother. So, you know, I started seminary when Lydia was about 3 months old. And I just gave her one of my papers, one of the first papers I ever wrote in seminary. And I wrote that paper that I had a daughter that was 4 months old. So she was just 3 months, I was home with her, stay-at-home dad, was with her until she turned 4 and I graduated from seminary. And in those days, you know, I was going to three-quarter time seminary. I was working about 15 to 20 hours at church. I started the young adults group at our church in Alameda Valley in San Jose. And then I was helping Lori as a new teacher. I was creating spreadsheets for her grade books. I was editing, helping her classroom, and this kind of thing. And I was also doing the cooking and cleaning and everything else as a stay-at-home dad. So you can imagine how busy it was. And it was probably the busiest time of my life. Now, I've had busy stretches of life, but that was the busiest. So I don't know how anyone does it. Moms or dads who are home with kids, it's pretty challenging. But there were times where I wish Lydia would just sit and be quiet for a couple hours so I could write a paper, or I could prepare my lesson, or I could play my video game, or whatever it was. We had N64 back then, so we were dedicated to all things. And so I just wish that she would be quiet. And so I would say at times I thought she was a bother. Now I look back, and certainly at the time I was convicted of my attitude, that actually she's not a bother, she is the priority. Right? As a child of my care, that she was the priority of my life, well, my wife, and to serve God that way. So this is obviously not a godly attitude, but it's something we might feel. And in ministries, when we have events, it sometimes feels like, well, what about the children? We've got to find someone for the children. And then, you know, it's last minute or it's hard to find people. So, you know, children can be a bother. We can think that they're a bother. I mean, second attitude is children are a tool. I was like, what does this mean? Because they can't do a whole lot, you know, especially little ones. We're not talking about child labor. We're talking about that in church, sometimes we think, well, we're going to use children's ministry as a means to reach the parents. And so they're a tool in that. So that's what Fowler means by this. And so they're a means to an end. And obviously that's not the greatest attitude either, because they should be the end themselves, right? They are people that we should care for, not just use them to reach others or reach families or parents. If it happens, and it does happen that way, then that's a blessing, but it shouldn't be our strategy or our thinking. Children are our future. You know, I remember someone countered this and said, actually, children are our present. Right, they're here right now. But certainly children are future leaders. Children are you know, going to grow up and really take our place. And so they are our future. I don't hate this one as much, but I do want us to temper this and not just think of them as being something for the future, but they are actually really, they can teach us a lot today. And there's a you know, so much of how I've grown in my own faith as a person was just being with my children at all the different stages of their lives, right? So the last one is that children are people, right? I was like, oh yeah, they're people. They're little people, but they're still people. And so in the book he says, you know, close your eyes and say people. So you just say people. What do you see? Do you see children? You see teenagers? You mostly see adults? Yeah. I think you really made a point that when we say the word people, you know, we usually think of adults. But certainly children are people. All of us were children at some point, right? So we all know that we're people. But I'm just having that attitude. So this one, where does this go from? There's a link in, you can't see. I thought I'd change the color. But anyway, it's George Barnard, you know, he does market research and surveys and this kind of thing, particularly on spirituality and home and this kind of thing. And so he said, we have an opportunity to build a more God-honoring world by investing in the moral and spiritual character of future leaders. And the book that that I came from is Transforming Children into Spiritual Champions. It's really a book written for the church. Talking about the opportunity that we have to invest in the spiritual character of future leaders. That's an amazing opportunity to have, and it's a Christ-honoring opportunity. Right, so what kind of attitude do we have toward children? Right? Barnett also said by age 9, most children have their spiritual moorings in place. So we know that if we want to influence a person, that the younger they are, the more influence we potentially have, right, to nurture them and love them and care for them and bring them up in a safe environment. And I ask that for ourselves as a church too. What is our attitude toward children at the church? I see how our children's ministries are doing and how our youth are doing is a huge reflection on the values and the character of our church. And if those ministries aren't going well, we have to ask ourselves, how well is our church really doing? If we can't care for those who need our help, they need our care and our nurture, our children, our youth, you know, our elderly, and so forth. So maybe it's something you haven't really even thought about very much. You know, some of you may not have that much exposure to children or children's ministry, but it's something to think about in terms of our values and so forth. So how did Jesus see children? What did he see? What was his attitude? If we asked him to pick one of these attitudes for children, what would he pick? Okay. And so this passage from Luke 18, it's just a few verses, and it's in a couple of Gospels too, but you might just kind of read over it quickly. But in Luke 18, he talks about the little children. And I love this kind of moral relief of Jesus with children. And let's read this together. Really get a sense of what it is that as Jesus was traveling and getting to the end of his journey to Jerusalem, what did he take time? What did he stop to do? All right, let's read together. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they grieved him. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So we see this interaction that Jesus has the children come to him. And there's this word here. So in the New Testament, there's different words for children. And Luke does something very curious from the other Gospels, that he takes the word babies and toddlers. Right? The word for babies. That's why it says babies here. I usually think of like more like 5-year-olds or 7-year-olds, this kind of thing. But Luke wants to emphasize just how little they are and how helpless they are. And if you've ever held an infant or you've been with a toddler and you know three of the children, you agree with, I don't know if Ethan's still a toddler, I don't think so. But he's preschool, right? Yeah, but if you three of the four children that we're going to dedicate later are infants or toddlers. And so you just look at them and think about them trying, the parents trying to bring them to Jesus. Ostensibly to have him bless them. I put his hand, but that's a way of saying to bless the children. And there's this whole incident that happens with the disciples. Okay. And I want to make 2 points about children from this passage. One is that children are valuable. Right? Children have great value in the Lord's eyes. I did a little bit of reading, and over the years, as I've looked at this idea, you know, what children mean in society and to our church, there's this culture in Rome and Greece and ancient world that children were considered non-persons. They had zero value in society. They were the property of the fathers, and the fathers could do anything they want. They even had this practice that where they could abandon unwanted children. Actually, a lot of the girls were abandoned. So you had a society of men. A lot of men who were running everything. It doesn't go well, right? So you have this practice of abandonment, and they either died in trash heaps, or they were enslaved, they were taken up from the trash heaps, and then you're raised up as slaves, in this kind of thing. So you get an idea of how the little children may have been treated in the ancient world. In Rome, a child's father had the right to kill him for whatever reason until he came of age. So that's a really stark contrast. We talk about children's rights and this kind of thing. A lot of societies, even today, where children don't have those rights or protections, and how much they need them, because they don't have the ability to do that for themselves, to protect themselves sometimes from adults and those who would want to exploit them. And so, ancient world, and what about the Jewish world? We see how they treated the children when they were trying to come up to Jesus. It's like, too busy, right? There's a clash of priorities in the midst of all the business, and Jesus is traveling and doing things, he's healing people. He's talking to important people, like rich young ruler. Sunday school, we have kind of Sam's lady, Luke 19. He's talking to Zacchaeus, rich tax collector. He's talking to, the high-powered religious officials of the day. And then he's got children there. Wow, it's really fascinating. Right in the middle of that story. Disciples are convinced that babies and toddlers are not important, and that such desires are a waste of the Lord's time. So they try to stop the parents from coming. So it seems like the disciples became Jesus' handlers here. And as his handlers, he's like, well, move along. And the children could, oh no, they created a wall. They literally created a barrier because they were too busy. He was too busy and he was doing all the things that he was doing. And what does Jesus say? He says, no, let them come to me. They are valuable. When Jesus saw, this is from Mark, when Jesus saw disciples rebuking parents and bringing little children, he was indignant. Luke doesn't say that he was indignant, so I want to bring out the synoptic version in Mark. But that word is really striking to me. He actually really got upset. It wasn't just, okay, I guess so. I got a few minutes. Just let him come and I'll do a couple, you know? just to please my fan base. No. You know? Yeah, it's like, this is like celebrity treatment, right? But no, he was indignant. He says, you let them come to me. Why are you stopping them? They are so precious and so valuable. And I think if this is how Jesus received children, how should we receive children? If this is the heart of our Lord, to look after the orphans, right? To look after the poor, to look after the little ones, then what should our heart be? And this is really an attitude, right? And what our value systems tell us, right? Right now we have a fairly big discussion about children's ministry at our church and potentially bringing on a children's minister or a director or something like that, you know? And I would just say, these discussions are ongoing, and they've been ongoing for a little while. They're not easy discussions, but I want us all to really have this piece in place, that children are valuable. When we have this discussion, and I think that everyone who is in these discussions feels the same way. Right? I don't feel like anyone doesn't think children are valuable. But I feel like if we truly have this in our heart, that it won't be long until we find a solution. Right? And that we'll have enough support for our children's ministry. And some of us just may not be aware that children's ministry is always short. It's just a perpetual kind of thing. That, and every church I've ever been in has been like this. Even if I've had paid staff, children's directors in churches. My first church was there about this size. It was never a money issue, right? It was a heart issue. It's that people, we didn't put the emphasis in the children's ministry and in the children that we could have. Right? And there's so many things to do. I just want us to hold this piece because I can't wave the magic wand. I don't know what the solution is, that even there's a person out there that we could bring in. But even in the churches where we've had somebody, we still were short. And whether it's VBS, or it's Children's Sunday School, or it's like this evangelistic outreach, this revival meeting we had last week, that we put children at the forefront. And not just to put coloring pages in front of them and pass time, but to really invest in them. and invest the time and energy to present God's word and his love to them. So Jesus receives the little children that they are valuable. And then he tells us that children are an example for us to follow. Right? He says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God is like a little child will never enter it. I remember this time at church, that was some years ago, and someone was goofing off and just making a scene and all this kind of thing. And then told him to stop, but this is kind of calm down and stop. He says, well, Jesus told us that we're to be like a child. I said, no, he didn't say be childish. He said, have faith like a child. Right? It's more of this example and a very specific part of children that they have this humility and dependence. And then he says that is so important and valuable to have that you will not even enter the kingdom of God unless you have that. That's heavy. That's big, right? If you don't have the attitude or the demeanor of a child, then you will not enter the kingdom of God. So obviously he's not talking about being childish. I read this story. It was someone who wanted to be able again. Anyone who wanted to be a child again? Sounds more simple, right? Just have someone take care of you, and everything's provided. And this is a person who said they want to be an 8-year-old again. He says, I am hereby resigning as an adult. I've decided I'd like to accept the responsibility of an 8-year-old again. What is the responsibility of an 8-year-old? I want to go to McDonald's and think it is a 4-star restaurant. I want to sail sticks across a fresh mud puddle and think M&Ms are better than money because you can eat them. Don't eat money. I want to lie under a big oak tree and run a lemonade stand with my friends on a hot summer day. I want to believe that anything is possible. That imagination. I want to be oblivious to the complexities of life and be overly excited about the little things again. And I want to make angels in the sky. So, obviously don't live here. So here's my checkbook and my car keys, my credit card bills, and my 401k statements. I'm officially resigning from adulthood. If you want to discuss this further, you'll have to catch me first. Tag, you're it. So I thought that was cute. This, very imaginative and just thinking about what it would be like to be a child again. So again, we're not talking about being childish. We're not talking about turning in all of our adult responsibilities, however nice that might sound sometimes. But we're really talking about the humility and dependence that children have. So we're not trying to become a child again, but what are the characteristics we're emulating? If you look at Luke 18 and just the surrounding passages here, you see stories that really focus on this point. He talks about humility. So there's a story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And they're both praying. And the Pharisee is so confident in his own self-righteousness. He's talking to Pharisees that are so confident in their righteousness. He told a story. And that there was a parable. A Pharisee, and he stood by himself and he prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Have you ever prayed like this? This is not how you should pray, by the way. He says, God, I think you are not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector who's sitting right over there. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I do. This is what is called self-righteousness. Oh, look at me, I've done all these great things, and I'm more important than anyone else. And then the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look to the heaven. He was looking down. He was so broken and humble. And he beat his breast, right? So I'm mourning. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And who did God approve? People. So there's this parable about humility. And then there's a story about children. So I caught this error. I didn't get a chance to change it. But obviously, this is our story today of Jesus receiving the children. And there's that dependence, right? Just think of a little child who comes up to you and holds your hand and asks you to lead them. And then there's receptiveness. And right afterwards is the story of the rich young ruler. And if you remember the story, there's this, so in every passage in the synoptics, he's given a little different characteristic. He's rich, or he's young, or he's a ruler. And so he's someone who's up and coming, he has lots of money, he has social status, and he comes up to Jesus, and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Right? And Jesus essentially says, sell everything you have and follow me. And what does he do? What would you do? Right? It would be hard. But that was what he needed to do. And it's not necessarily what everyone needs to do. But there was something holding on to his heart that was gripping his heart so much he had to let go, or else he wouldn't be able to follow Jesus. And that was this acceptance and receptiveness and dependence that Jesus was talking about when he used the children as a lesson, as he cared for them, to the disciples. He said, they're not important. And if you think what's flanking this story is Pharisees, religious leaders, and then you have the civic leaders and the wealthy. And there's such a contrast here, and even the disciples, that in the midst of all this, he's saying, you have to receive the kingdom like a little child. That we can learn something from those little children. Don't just cast them away and put them in the corner, or tell them to be quiet because they're a bother. So no, look at them and see how they receive the love of their parents and of Jesus. And that's how we're meant to be. You know, as adults, it's not easy to do this, right? Because we have our pride, right? And we have our self-sufficiency. We want to know what we need. It's hard for us to receive help or to depend on someone else. Who likes depending on someone else? I don't like depending on anyone else. No one wants to, but he's saying that we have to depend on God. And there's a point in our lives, every one of our lives, where we hit that point where we can't do it ourselves, where it's overwhelming. I bet you've already hit that point. Maybe you've hit it multiple times when you recognize just how humble our estate really is, how our place in this world is not secure, no matter what we do, and how little control we have, that we are in the hands of our Heavenly Father. So we are children of our Heavenly Father, but we don't always act like children in this way. Children are an example to follow. They're valuable, we should care for them, but we should also look to them and see that there's something that we can gain about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so he says that unless you receive the kingdom like a child, that you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And some people will say, well, is this a requirement, like a job, when you have apply for a job and there are five requirements and you have education and experience, and if you don't have this, you don't get in? It's more of a statement of truth or of fact. Unless you have that kind of humble heart, you won't be able to receive the things that God has for us. If you can't receive those, like forgiveness, right, and guidance and mercy, if you can't receive that, then you're not going to be able to enter into this, into God's care, into his rule, into his love, into his salvation. You won't be able to unless we receive it. This is why we had baptism last week, and Maggie did such a good job with her testimony. You know, I'm sure in the Chinese group too, you know, when you hear those stories, you hear receptiveness, and even a brokenness to say, I need you, God. Are you in that place this morning? Maybe you're in that place where there's some aspect of your life where you say, I need you, God. That I feel almost like a little child, helpless and afraid that you're my Heavenly Father. And I can grab onto your hand and find my strength, my protection, and security in you. Right? There's no shame in this. It's just admitting what is true, how much we need God. So as our takeaway, we're going to go into our child dedication here, is I want us to be prayerful. He said, don't go and do too much right now in terms of, you know, if you want to help with the children's ministry, sure, go talk to the children's leaders. Lily is on the children's committee, so someone, Lily? Oh, there you are. You're scared. And Chris there. So, but yeah, you could do that. But I want you to first be prayerful, right? To be careful about our children. And you see the children up here and we're dedicating them. Think about what it means as a church. And we are the church to be part of their lives. And not just them, but the other children that we have, and the youth that we have. Right? And the children that you may bring into this world someday, right, and bring into the church, if God blesses you that way. So I will I'll do a quick prayer and close this time, and then we'll explain a little bit more of what the child dedication is, and then we'll have our parents come up to share their testimony. So I think you guys know what order we're doing, right? Alphabetical order, last name. So Ho, Hans, and then Zane. All right. Let's go. Father God, I really thank you for this story, right in the midst of such a powerful stretch of incidences and events and teachings of Jesus in Luke 18 as he is heading to Jerusalem. We know that he will face his fate there, that he will be arrested there, that he will face the cross. And 3 days later, that he'll be resurrected. In the midst of all that, he took time to receive the children. And that's just so amazing, just to ponder. And how much that he loved all. And he took that time to bring the babies and toddlers into his space and to care for them and be hospitable to them and to bless them. God, we want to be a blessing to all, and especially our children. And as we enter into this child dedication, Lord, we pray that you would give us even a greater heart to care for the children in our midst and to support our families in any way that we can as a church and as individuals. Lord, if some of us who have kids that are older now, that we would not forget and that we would pray and be supportive too. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to affect change in the lives of those who will grow up and become truly our future leaders and those who will have families of their own and that we can invest in from every age, from birth until whatever age that they might leave us. Thank you, God, for just being so gracious to us and for loving every single one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.